Morgan Startup Series.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the Morgan's Startup Series, I'm joined by Robert Tadros, founder and MD of Impressive Digital. Robert, thanks so much for being part of the series.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Robert, can you tell us about the history of Impressive Digital, how it all began, I suppose why, and also a little bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So I come from, I guess, over a decade of digital, been in the digital marketing space for quite a while and having worked for, you know, both corporate and agency sites. Most recently, I was heading up APAC for another digital marketing agency when I came to the realization or I discovered that what we were reporting on and a lot of the work that we were doing and how we were quantifying our existence wasn't necessarily what the actual clients wanted or what the business needed. So I kind of reverse engineered and flipped it on its head, and I sat down and engaged in a couple of meetings, in fact, with a number of different businesses at the time that I was managing, and I said, guys, you know, tell me, every time I come in here and I report on these metrics, which I now call vanity metrics, you don't seem very intrigued, right? Yes, your traffic has gone up and you've got an amazing click-through rate and all the rest of it, but for some strange reason, it's not exactly what they wanted. So they said, Rob, you know, as business owners and directors and CEOs, all we really care about is our bottom line revenue and sales and leads and how that's impacted the business. So that, to me, was a bit of an eye-opener. And shortly after, and funny enough, it's actually our second birthday today on the 14th of March, I founded the business, founded Impressive. I was newly married, got married in August 2015, started in March 2016. And I basically went all in, right? I knew I had one crack at this to do a very good job of it in a very, you know, very saturated industry, I should say. It's a fast-growing industry here in Australia and on a global scale, but it's also very, very competitive. You know, every man and his dog these days is, you know, they call themselves a digital marketer. So, you know, I found a little gap. For the first 6 months, was essentially myself. I was doing everything, right? I was the admin. I was the account manager. I was sales. I was a campaign manager. I was building. I was a specialist. I was a one-man show. Basically got to the point around the 6 months mark where I had one big project that I had to launch, and I basically slept in the office in a sleeping bag for a week. My marriage was coming to an end very quickly, right? When I realized that I needed to start building out my team. And, you know, 2 years, fast forward 2 years, we're a team of 19 and, you know, on track to hit $5 million by the end of the financial. So, yeah, rapid growth definitely came with some challenges. There's definitely been a bit of a learning curve, but I'm blessed to be surrounded by very talented people that have essentially attributed to the growth of the business as well.
What an amazing 2 years, and happy birthday for today, obviously. A big milestone
you,
in the event of the company. The early days, I mean, you did say it was hard. You were sleeping at work, and it was basically taking a little bit of a toll on your personal life. I mean, from a brand point of view, where you positioned and having that experience already and being a decade in it, I mean, how did you get that message out to people that you're different from the rest?
To be honest, right at the start, I struggled a bit because I wanted to be that agency that was a full-service agency, right? I saw that, you know, I was looking at competitors and I was looking at how other agencies overseas were doing it. Everyone was becoming that end-to-end solution. And I became that end-to-end solution, right? And again, you know, I learned very quickly that I was being a generalist rather than a specialist, okay? So this is one thing. That was one thing I really learned early in business is that, you know, if you don't specialize, you're the jack of all trades, a master of none. So from that was the I could call it, you know, you can call it like a rebrand, if you like, or, you know, the brand was born. So we really started honing down on who we are and what we do and what we're really good at and what is, you know, what are unique selling propositions? Why would the customer or the client come to us versus another agency? And for us, I looked at our capabilities and our expertise, and it lied into two major services: paid social and search. So literally I scraped 30% of my business. I basically just outsourced it to another web design and development agency, and we stopped doing anything to do with development. And we focused predominantly on what we were really good at, what we specialized in. And from there, that created a brand. And now in the marketplace, everyone knows Impressive as that search and social agency. So I guess you could say I was blessed right at the start to encounter this challenge and to learn from it and move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. In the sense that you're positioning, you found your niche, you're honing in on what you're good at, and clients are very warm and receptive to that. I mean, did you get lots of feedback early on, obviously, to come to that decision, but also once you've come to that decision, the feedback you get from your clients, has that refined your business a little bit more?
Absolutely. Look, and it was tough, you know. It was tough right at the start to let go of 30% of the business, especially at an early age, right? We hadn't even turned 1 year old. I needed every dollar I could. But it was a calculated decision that I was willing to make. And it was some of the conversations, I must admit, were very awkward with some of the clients, especially the ones that we'd built some really good relationship with. And I was like, look, I'm sorry, but this is not where the business is going. This is where we're heading. And I almost need to sort of, not necessarily hand bore you, but, introduce you to another agency or partner agents that we're working with. They'll be able to take care of you. So they were very hard conversations to have. But I believe now, just given, the success, I guess, that we've had and the growth that we've had in the business, that it was the right decision to make.
And did you start local with clients? And obviously you had a network of people that you knew within the industry of being in the sector for a decade plus. I mean, did you start local, and now are you domestic, or have you also got an international kind of focus as well?
Yeah, we did start very local. As you mentioned, for over a decade, you get to meet a lot of people, a lot of businesses, and your name sort of gets out there. So naturally, I acquired a lot of business that way. But we've also got a very, very aggressive sales and marketing strategy. I mean, essentially, that's what we do. So we're all about, generating leads and so on for multiple lead channels. So naturally, that formed our strategy moving forward here within Australia, and predominantly here in Melbourne. And it's only very recent that we've started having conversations with global companies that are based out of here in Australia, that want us to manage their entire e-com ecosystem, if you like. So e-commerce is a big part of our business, and naturally it opens up the doors to in one client in particular, it's opened up the doors to 43 different countries, so it gives us a lot of exposure outside of Australia as well. But when we first started, we were very much focused in Australia and predominantly in Melbourne.
And I suppose from where you are now in 2 years, it's all been explosive, and you got married and as well, which is always a big life-changing moment. I mean, what has been the biggest challenge in your eyes in the last couple of years? Is it hiring people? Is it getting the right product mix? Or is it something as basic as work-life balance?
Okay, there's probably a couple of things there, Chris. I mean, work-life balance for me, especially recently, I've just had a little one back in
congratulations.
The...
Congratulations.
3 months old. Thanks, mate. Yeah, so I'm... everything's happening very quickly, right? So work-life balance for me has been a juggle, especially right in the early stages after I got married. It was very hard for me to, I was doing 18, 20, 21 hour days, right? It was suicide. But again, as I mentioned, I was a man on a mission, right? And I know there's a lot of books and stories and, people's opinions on, once you work over 9 hours, you burn out and, actually relevant to the business and all the rest of it. But I don't necessarily believe in that, right? So I'm all about hard work and dedication. So, but again, there's a lot of learnings that came out of that. And now I've learned that, I do need to stop at a certain time. I need to put all tools down, laptop, phone, the whole lot of it, right? And spend time with my little one and my wife. So that was a big learning curve. The other and probably the most important, learning that I got that I've had in the last 24 months is around finding talent. Right? And I talk about this a lot. There's at the early stages, I was, I needed to put bums on seats, and I learned again, and I discovered very quickly that was definitely not the right way or the right approach. So I went out and I really do try and find unicorns. Right? They are very hard to find. Okay, so for me, finding talent over staff is a big, I feel anyway, is attributed a lot to our success. So a lot of the talent that I go out there and I headhunt and I find are people with credentials, people, individuals that have actually done the work and done it very and extremely, extremely well. As I said, they are very hard to find, but when we do find them, we reward them. And for us, we're very big on culture and treating individuals like they are individuals, right? Not just another number. So that was something I learned very, very quickly in business as well.
Yeah, you mentioned that word culture there right at the end, and it's something that gets talked about a lot. Being founder-led, and obviously you're very young, but also very advanced in your company journey. But as you build out staff, and you said you've got 19 now, how have you found the culture evolving from just you and your habits and your vision and your goals to now 19 people with, you know, other people's habits and goals and visions, etc.? Or is it hard to maintain that level of culture that you've set up from an early stage, or are you letting it evolve naturally?
Look, it's a bit of both. I mean, you know, naturally as the team grows, you know, I was always this believer of once you get to sort of 15 staff and start to pivoting over, you know, the 15 getting to 20 and 25, you know, dynamics naturally change, right? You're dealing with lots of different personalities, especially in the digital marketing space. You've got very analytical people, you've got very creative individuals. So it's very hard to sort of, you know, make those, especially those two bond. So for us, we're very big on, you know, team activities, right? It's a huge part of our business, right? Every month, you know, I nominate two people out of the entire business who pitch an idea to the team, and then one of those ideas gets voted for, and we essentially go out and execute it. Now, you know, for us, although it's fun and all the rest of it, but it's a good time for us to all bond and understand how we all think, you know, whether it's analytical or creative or however it is, and that naturally gels the team together. And what I found is from right in the early days when it was just a team of two or three of us and we'd go out and have lunches and all the rest of it, that has actually attributed to a lot of the culture that is now driven into the business. So I'm not necessarily saying that I'm driving a lot of it, but it's naturally just driving itself.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And yeah, as you said, the early days as well in terms of 2 years, and maybe as it builds out to 30, 35 if required or however big, that actually evolves and keeps that foundation, as you mentioned, from that core 1, 2, 3 person team early on. In terms of where the business has evolved over the last 2 years and the consumers and the brands that you're dealing with and the companies, I mean, how much has changed in your eyes in 2 years of what people want? I mean, is it still that bottom line focus, as you mentioned, or are people looking at other metrics, or as the consumer changes with things like Instagram stories, etc., has the market moved?
Market has definitely moved. I mean, you know, if you just mentioned their Instagram stories is not like this, the hot thing at the moment, right? So everyone's almost moving away from the Instagram feed itself and concentrating a lot more on the Insta stories. I mean, and there's two parts to this, right? There's the consumer and then the businesses. And, you know, the way that the consumer, I mean, you know, more than ever, the consumer's got so much power in their hands right now. We're talking about, you know, it's consumer-generated content rather than influencer marketing, for example, right? So it's actual users or the customers of that business that are actually going out and producing content to drive the business growth, right? So it's a completely different lens, right? So we're seeing a lot of that consumer behavior being changed online. We're seeing, you know, we talk about the attribution modeling a lot in e-commerce, which, you know, as I mentioned before, is about 70% of our business. But, you know, a lot of these e-com brands are now starting to realize that it's not about one or two touch points. It's sometimes taken up to 11 touch points to get the conversion. So what does that mean for their consumer? How are you being perceived as a brand out there in the marketplace? Which platforms are actually relevant to that end user? You know, are you just advertising on Instagram stories because everybody else is doing it, or are you doing it because your consumer is actually on that platform? So we're finding that the consumer behavior and the data is actually telling us that, you know, you really need to dig very deep into the business and understand, you know, as a, say, for example, an e-commerce brand, what are you selling? Are you selling a product or are you selling an experience? And then how are you taking that experience out to market? Which platforms is that experience being delivered on? So we are seeing a big shift in the marketplace, you know, especially with AR around the corner, augmented reality, sorry, you know, VI. We're seeing a lot of technology now starting to emerge and starting to not necessarily take over, but it's creating different experiences. You know, Google Voice. I mean, so voice search is becoming a huge thing with now, you know, Amazon, and you've got Amazon Alexa and Google Play and so on. So, and they're starting to become embedded in each home. So how does that all impact, I guess, the, you know, the overall attribution and the overall experience online?
You make a very valid point. I mean, my oldest son is five now, and he knows Siri. He knows exactly what to do and how to turn on phones and talk to Apple TV, etc. And it's quite frightening. But voice is something a number of other people have mentioned about the being the dark horse, so to speak, in terms of consumerism. But there are so-called fads, as you mentioned, whether AR and VR is in such that category, or whether it is real, and things like blockchain. We haven't seen too many applications yet. But from a personal level, I've got two more questions. From a personal level, what excites you the most about tech? Is it something like autonomous cars or AI? And secondly, I suppose you've built this business. 2 years ago, you've built it to 19 people. You're scaling fast. You mentioned $5 million. I mean, the future, what does it look like for you?
Yeah, so look, we've got a pretty aggressive growth strategy in place at the moment. I'm sort of driving it. For me, you know, revenue's great, and you know, if it wasn't for, you know, obviously it's a big component of my thinking and the strategy. But for us, at the end of the day, you know, we have a vision, and we're very much around the customers. We're very customer centric. So for us, that the team members don't necessarily take their eyes off that. It's all about the customer first. The revenue will come. If we produce good work and good results, the revenue will come. So with that, you know, we are building some, you know, a number of, you can call them products. I mean, their services, but let's just call them products for the time being, on how we can overexceed and overachieve in what we are delivering out to the clients. And naturally, that is going to result in some rapid growth. We are trying to be first to market with a number of different products that we're working with, a couple of different agencies out of the US to bring here into Australia. So, you know, over the next 12 and 18 months, you know, some exciting times ahead and a couple of, I would say, Australian first services and products that we'll probably launch from a digital marketing perspective for us. So, yeah, as I mentioned, growth, you know, massive growth plans. There's a lot happening, and yeah, watch the space.
Watch this space indeed. Robert, one last question. Some tips out there for aspiring entrepreneurs. Maybe rewind yourself a couple of years to where you were sitting there going, there's got to be a better way of doing things. And I'm sure there's a lot of people sitting there right now going, there's got to be a better way of doing things. What's some advice that you can share that you've learned over the last 2 years?
Look, absolutely, Chris. I mean, the biggest thing for me is just, you know, take the plunge. Right. If you see an opportunity and a better way to do business, just do it. Right. Get out there and actually do it. Well, I'm finding a lot of my peers, and even I'm victim of this at one stage where I was just sitting back. Oh, but what if? Stop living in the what if world, because if you live in the what if world, you'll never move forward. Right. And that's one thing, I also realized very quickly is, you know, well, what if it doesn't work? Well, if it doesn't work, it's not an option. Right. You get out there and you work your ass off and it will happen. That's just the reality. Right. Everyone, I had a lot of doubts when I first started. You know, people are like, there is no way you're going to start another agency. You know, there's so many. We so far, the stats tell us about 1,377 agencies in Australia. And here you are going to start another one. So, you know, there was a lot of doubt, a lot of negativity. Stay away from the negativity. And if you really believe in that you're onto something, go out there, take the plunge and make it happen.
Stop living in a what-if world. I've written it down. It's a great quote, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there in that predicament that need a bit of a forward thinking like that, and in terms of ethic and put their work ethic and put their foot down and give it a go, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure having a chat to you today. I really appreciate you giving up your time on your second birthday. I hope there's some celebrations today, congratulations on what the cake's on its way. Congratulations on what you've achieved thus far, and by the sounds of things and our chat, there is a long journey to go. So, Robert, thanks so much, and look forward to catching up.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.